It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation, and engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Well, hello. Welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us. And, you know, Scott, we do have to talk about razor blades again.
I know. I saw that in the journal today. it had a big spread in there.
Yeah, I have that in our little intro because I like to make fun, you know, and I probably shouldn't be that way, but I like to make fun when people talk about nonsensical stuff on what is supposed to be a financial show. But we're going to talk about razor blades just because I did not realize, I saw the journal article that you did, and I did not know how big of a business this is.
I still thought that thing was a joke. I mean, to be candid.
Oh, the Shave Club?
Yeah.
Shave Club for Men or whatever it's called. Yeah, this guy, Michael Dubin, has a company that will give you the Dollar Shave Club. He'll give you razor blades for a month for like $9. That's not bad. That's tax title tag dealer prep out the door. I think that's including shipping and everything.
I still don't get it, but he's getting a lot of press.
Well, here's what I did not know. Why is it such a big deal? Listen to this. The total amount of business we're talking about here, almost $14 billion.
It's a big market.
That's a lot of money.
Dominated by Gillette.
Yeah, you're right. Gillette's almost, well, they're 2/3 of the market.
That's dominate.
Schick is another 12.5, and then Bic is 5, and then I guess a few odds and ends after that. Okay. Well, I just wanted to mention that. We'll get to the serious stuff now.
All right.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
Well, you may remember that Wednesday we rallied pretty nicely coming off of 5 days in a row of negative numbers. That trend continued in Thursday's market. Dow up 180 points to close just inside of 13,000 at 12,986. S&P up 18. That's a good move there. Inside of 1,400 at 1,387. NASDAQ a good move today. 39 points to close north of 3,000 at 3,055. A little bit of a push upward in gold. A little bit up 17 at 1,677. Oil up $1.03 to 103, and tens at 206. So not much movement in tens today.
Okay. Well, the gold thing's obviously a potential anticipation of QE3.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a...
You give me the rundown
Well,
on
speaking
that?
Of QE, you know, there's so much of the market is driven by QE. My perspective is I would rather the economy be healthy enough that we don't need QE. But traders don't care about that. Traders are just looking for whatever is going to cost.
They're looking for one thing and one thing only, asset appreciation.
Yeah, any kind
at
of
any
asset.
Cost.
They don't care.
They do not care.
But survey came out today from the Wall Street Journal that said 36 out of 51 economists polled, that's 71%, believe the central bank will not take any further action for the remainder of the year, including a big buyback of bonds. And quite a bit of the language from the Fed governors who have been speaking.
A lot of them have been talking, which is unusual.
Gosh, a lot. And really what they're saying is that we really don't want to do QE. We will if we absolutely have to. But focus on the idea that we're keeping interest rates low. Through 2014, we're very committed to that idea.
Well, I think what's interesting is that if they're going to do something, they kind of need to do it before we get to the end of the summer, because if it goes into the fall, then it's going to be there's going to be huge political ramifications.
Yeah, and Operation Twist ends in June, so you know they're kind of on hiatus at that time.
So if that's part of what you were telling me the other day about the potential for treasuries to start to sneak up toward 2.6 or percent by the end of the year. That's because the buying pressure is going to stop.
Yeah, it certainly
could
be.
From the Fed, right?
Yeah, it certainly could be. So we'll continue to keep an eye on tens. A lot of market driving news on Thursday was rumor based from China. We're expecting their GDP announcement, and there was a very, very specific and firm rumor that came out that almost looked like a leak of the report that said the GDP was 9%, the expectation is 8.4%.
Wow.
But I mean, if you're anybody that believes a rumor out of China.
Well, a lot of people don't even believe the official report, let alone a rumor. I mean,
So that got materials moving pretty quickly. U.S. Steel, Freeport, McMoran, companies like that, those two specifically over 6% each on the idea that China was continuing its hot growth.
Can't hurt Alcoa either.
No, definitely not. As always on Thursdays, we get the weekly jobless claims report up 13,000 to 380,000. So still inside of 400,000, but that's the highest number we've had since January. And that's a weekly number, so it's a fair number of data points.
Okay. So jobs a little bit better? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, all that really to me is a confirmation of the report that we got last week on Friday that says the jobs growth is rather anemic.
Okay.
But I do want to tell you.
I was hoping you were going to give me some good news.
Well, I want to tell you this one. Now, this is not my term. This is from CNBC.
So, Lisa, this is
a legitimate source. The so-called shove it indicator has shown that the jobs market is getting better.
So more people are saying, take this job and shove it.
More people quitting than getting laid off in February for the first time in quite some time. So that's, I guess, good news for the job market.
That's Johnny Paycheck. You know that, right?
Uh-huh.
All right.
I did know that.
You did? Yep. All right. Okay. All right. I just want to make sure.
And I have a bunch of corporate news and a couple of
Well, hold the corporate news because Lisa's got some corporate news. We got to take what Rush Limbaugh calls it, a obscene profit center timeout. I'm just going to call mine my obnoxious self-promotion spots. So here they come. Stay tuned. They're good. Good. Listen to these. They're really good. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
We're back. You got a good picture. I'm pushing Scott to get over those breaks. Come on. That's okay. I'm pushing Scott to put a picture in a LinkedIn so that all of our many fans can
see that.
Can go in there. All right. Well, I've got a picture of you. We took a picture of you. I'll just pop it onto the Real Money website, Real Money Radio Show. Put it out there for everybody to see.
All right. Can we keep going?
Yeah, go ahead. Don't all run right. out the door.
We talked about jobless claims. The other big economic report on Thursday's market was PPI, Producer Price Index, flat for the month.
So the input cost for the folks that are making everything, their costs stayed the same.
Yeah, and a lot of that was because of, actually, believe it or not, a drop in gas prices.
Yeah, knocked out some of the other stuff.
Yeah, compared to the previous month. So flat inflation number there, and Friday morning we'll get the CPI number.
That's the one we have the bet on, right?
You and I have a bet on, that's all correct. Right. So we'll see what happens there.
Scott's saying it's going to be 2.7, 2.8. I'm saying it's going to be 3 or higher.
Right. Overseas Italian bond auction again on Thursday's trade. Big jump in their 3-year debt, unfortunately. I'm always sorry to report that. 3-year debt from Italy now at 3.89%.
That's extraordinary.
Just a month ago it was 2.76.
What's amazing, though, is they pay more. The Italian government, in borrowing the money they do, pays more in interest for a three-year than we do on a 10.
Almost twice.
Yeah.
And they certainly pay twice what Germany pays, which is still
AAA.
Anything
ever happened with any of these century bonds that the Brits were talking about?
I have not seen an official launch of a century bond. But, I mean, who wants to tie their money up? I guess if you're a pension maybe or a some kind of an endowment.
But you know, you might as well make it, if you make it 100 years, why don't you just make it forever?
Yeah, make it perpetual. Why not?
I mean, that's what preferred stocks are anyway, right. Most of them. Yep. So.
Yep. So that's the economic news. A couple of things that I caught that caught my eye that I wanted to share with you specifically, because I know this one ties in with some press that you have coming out Monday. SEC charges a company called City Capital, that's C-I-T-Y, not C-I-T-I, in a Ponzi scheme, $11 million Ponzi scheme. How's this for somebody who has his fate sealed in the afterlife? Efren W. Taylor II, 29 years old, made numerous false statements to lure investors into two investment programs at his church.
Ugh.
Told the people at his church that the money was being used for charitable causes and economically disadvantaged businesses. Instead, it was diverted to hire public imaging consultants and fund his wife's fledgling singing career.
I hope she sings very well.
Yes, Mr. Taylor has some amends to make before his time with us.
He better get right.
Yeah,
well,
he's going to get right.
You know, there's another. Well, before you go to your next thing, I saw a piece in the USA Today about ex Tyco CEO begging to get out of jail, and they said,
Mr.
"No parole
Kozlowski.
For you, man."
Yeah. Well, he did some terrible things.
Dennis Kozlowski. Yeah. Yeah. He hurt a lot of people, didn't he?
Yeah, and it was just such the epitome of greed, his story. He's the guy that was throwing birthday parties for his wife with all these very...
This is the one with the $6,000 shower curtain.
Right. And he would have people come to his party, these like Roman gladiator type people, and they would spray paint them gold, and they'd just like sort of stand there and pose. It was just so obnoxious in every way. A little corporate news. KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, is in a little bit of hot water overseas. They on their Facebook page for Thailand, remember earlier this week there was a pretty significant threat of a tsunami, which didn't come to pass. The earthquake took place, but that didn't come to pass. But KFC posted on their Facebook page in Thailand, "Let's all hurry home and follow the earthquake news, but don't forget to order your favorite KFC menu item on the way."
I guess they consider that insensitive.
It's not insensitive. So they took a lot of heat.
Yeah, that's not good.
They have and on the Facebook page, I'm going
to
show you.
They might
you
as
this.
Well say, "Hey, grab a bucket to go, and then you can use your bucket as a flotation device."
Yeah, you
device.
Can float away in it, right? I'm going to show this
so
to
bad.
You, David. The listeners can't see it, but on their Facebook page, it looks like they're serving fried brains or...
Oh, that's gross.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it looks like just a big hunk of fried fat.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Now, maybe there's something special that they make. And, you know, other countries' tastes for food is very different than ours. You know, there's some countries where eating monkey brain is a delicacy.
Yeah, to that end, Pizza Hut announced that they are making a new pizza with, rather than a cheese-stuffed crust, it's a hot dog-stuffed crust.
See, I would eat that.
You would? You?
I would.
I'm
yeah,
not
I would.
Anywhere near
yeah,
that.
I would do that. I would do
and
that.
And I look like the guy that would eat that, and you don't.
Why is that eat it now? I'm on this thing where I'm not eating any breads right now. But
yeah, there are no cavemen had hot dogs.
Yeah, I'm a
crust.
Caveman guy right now.
And then finally, in corporate news, Google announced earnings after the bell at Thursday's close, $10.08 a share versus expectations of $9.65.
Wow.
Revenue for, now they generate revenue by just basically people clicking stuff. Revenue, $8.14 billion for the quarter.
Good grief.
To click stuff. I mean, it's all about marketing and getting eyes in the
places
that you
need. Well, now
they
got the whole eyeglass thing going on.
Yeah, that's
down
the road.
But that's not even making money for them yet,
right?
No,
that's still a prototype, but it's coming. We'll all be wearing those dopey glasses one day.
I hope not. You know what we haven't talked about, and I just ran across it the other day by accident. Google bought a phone manufacturer.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly the brand, but they did buy it, and they've got their own operating system, that ice cream sandwich, and they're definitely trying to make a push into that marketplace. But I think that market is already wrapped up, unless something really, really innovative comes out. I mean, look what happened. We talked about Nokia yesterday. They were one of the leading manufacturers 5 years ago. They're done.
I think their eyeglass, their glasses idea, making an internet, and then make it also be a phone. And then you've got one service plan for both internet as well as for phone service, and you know you're and obviously you've got earpieces on each side right there over your ears where the noise can come out. You can come out in stereo. Wouldn't that be a treat?
Right. And Apple built the model that you know, then you sell all the products for the device through your own server.
And you sell it at a huge discount. Either discount the service or you discount the product to get the service plan.
Yeah.
Which is what there's a big bunch of stuff going on, which we can talk about if you want to hang out for a little bit longer. Lisa's letting me know in no uncertain terms I need to take a quick break. But I want to come back and talk a minute about Amazon.
All right.
Okay, so stay tuned. You stay tuned. Come right back.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on West Channel 2.
Are you gambling with too much money invested in the stock market? How can you tell? It's simple. The rule of 100. Take your age and subtract it from 100. The result is how much you might want to keep in the market. The rest should be off the table, invested in something safe. Every rule has an exception, but the rule of 100 is a good starting point to determine if your portfolio is out of balance. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Trust me, I'm on it. Hey there. Oh, it's a hot mic. No, I talking to Scott about some of our business plans, and you know, we're working hard to reach as many people as we can. And speaking of reaching as many people as you can, all this fuss with Amazon and Apple and that the regulators have come into the equation, and there's a big deal with this whole thing about
the price fixing,
the price fixing on electronic books.
Yeah.
So, well, let's see. New York Times had a very good article. And basically, here's a rundown. Right now, Amazon's kind of in the catbird seat, okay? Because what happened is the regulators, I guess, have which regulatory arm is it?
Justice Department.
Justice Department. Yeah. Okay, those guys are serious.
Yes,
those guys don't play around. So they basically say the accusation is that Apple conspired with some of these different publishers.
Yeah, some big names, Simon and Schuster.
Yeah,
and some big ones.
Some of the big ones, HarperCollins. Let's see, it's Penguin, Macmillan. These are big names.
Yeah.
Basically, that they worked out pricing with them. You can't do that, right?
Right. You can't do that.
Yeah, that's anti-competition.
Yeah.
And they get upset about that.
Yep.
So they've already, the regulators already settled with a couple of them.
Yeah, that means they talked.
They talked. And so this is an issue for Apple. Because there's not been any charges pressed against Apple yet, have there?
Not right now. This stuff is just percolating on the press.
But with all of that, Amazon is sitting kind of fat and happy, saying, "Okay, well, we're cutting the price on Amazon eBooks, but you got to have a Kindle." So it's very interesting. It's shaking up the dynamics. And you know, the thing I've seen, and I'm sure you have too, Scott, and many of our listeners has, is over the last probably the last 20 years. We've seen technology just ripple through different industries, and the access to getting to stuff is made so much easier by technology.
Yeah.
And so you've got now these e-publications that you're getting them. Amazon's selling them for $10. It'll be $5. It'll be $2. We'll be buying books for $1 a piece.
Yeah. Well, you know, it hasn't affected the stock, the Apple stock at all.
And I Not think yet.
But I think part of the reason for that is analysts think to themselves, well, what are they going to do, find them $1 billion? Apple just strokes a check for $1 billion and they go on their way, you know? So what's the worst they can do, really?
That's a good point. Well, we have a history in our country of the government getting a hold of something that is grown too big.
Yeah.
You know, once upon a time, there was a company called Standard Oil.
Right.
And it got broken up.
Yeah.
And AT&T and all Ma Bell and all these things, you know? That's one of the risks, that as they get bigger and bigger, that they may get on just a sheer, you know, is they say some companies are too big to fail, or is a company too big to be
survive.
Too big?
Yeah.
You know, is there a risk of becoming too big that you become under attack?
Yeah. Well, we definitely have not heard the end of that.
All right. Well, we have heard the end of Scott, though, for today. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for that, Scott. Scott's like, thank God, let me out of here. You go work on those portfolios and keep them going the right direction. And we're going to continue our conversation. I want to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to answer a very important question that a lot of people have. When is enough enough? When's enough enough for your finances? When have you accumulated enough? I'll share a little story with you. And I'll also talk about 16 things to do before you die. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
This is your 2-minute warning.
Welcome back. And here is, well, this is interesting. I've met with a lot of people over the last 15 years operating Holland Financial. And one of the things I sometimes run into is the person that is having a real hard time deciding when enough is enough. So to those of you out there that are like that, to whom I can certainly relate, I want to share something with you. And what I want to, the message I want to give you is that, you know, there is a point at which you say, okay, that's it. I met recently with a client of mine who this is difficult for. He's had a hard time with it, and he just is having a hard time defining it. What point does he say that's it? I've kept my money on the line, so to speak. I've kept my money at risk long enough. Now it's time to take a more conservative posture. It's time for me to sit back and say, okay, I'm going to have my money working for me to give me income now, not trying to continue to go up the ladder and take additional levels of risk. Because as we've talked about on this show very often, as you get older or as you get closer to retirement or you get further into retirement, it becomes very impractical, okay? I guess that's the way to put it. Very impractical to, if you have a huge loss or a big loss, to when you're taking more risks, to reaccumulate it. How much more time do you have? You know, let's say you're 60 years old and you're ready to retire. Well, once you retire or you're about to retire, how much more time do you have to enjoy life and that retirement that we all want to enjoy and do the things we want to do? Now, hopefully we try to do those things along the way. And I'm not trying to be too philosophical with you today, but my point is that financial planning can help you get there. It can help you say, okay, I will take these monies and I'll have them give me an income that I won't have to worry about anymore. And then I'll take this other money. Maybe I'll still play, or maybe I'll still take some risks with that. And you know what? If it doesn't work out, I've still got my safer money to give me income. So there is a point at which enough is enough. Now, over to the 16 things to do before you die. I'll hit these real quick. Investopedia. Stephen Merkel had an article that did a good summary of these. And so let me give them to you real quick. Number one, physical item inventory. Make a list of everything you got. Know what you've got. Anything that's worth more than, say, $100. Home, television set, jewelry, collectibles, vehicles, guns, computers, laptops, lawnmower, power tools. Make a list of all that stuff. You need to have that so that you can give it to somebody that may be taking care of your stuff if you're not here. Non-physical items. Your investments, your IRAs, your 401ks, your brokerage accounts, your insurance policies. You need to have a list of all that stuff. Credit cards and debt lists. If you have debt, if you have credit cards, a list of all those items. Make a list. And organizations and charitable memberships you belong to. You know, if something happens, you want your family or your beneficiaries or the people involved with handling your estate to know who those folks are. There might be insurance that you don't know about. Some of these organizations have insurance for their members. Or they may simply just want to know where you've been involved and also to be able to cancel certain memberships. Now, if you have somebody who's going to handle your estate for you, in Florida, that's called a personal representative. It's also called, in other states, executor, executrix. There's a lot of names for these things, administrator. But basically, that's the person that's going to handle your estate if something happens to you and you die. Page two, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. Number six, review all of your IRAs, 401ks, and retirement accounts. Who's the beneficiary? Make sure you've got that updated. A lot of times this happens where people don't update and they have remarried or they have gotten divorced or something has changed and the wrong person gets the money, and it's very difficult to fix that. You won't be trying to fix it. People will be fighting and suing each other trying to fix it. Number seven, update your life insurance annuities for the same reason. You want to make sure that's all up to date. Assign TOD designations as transfer on death. You can do that with your bank accounts, your CDs. You can do the same thing with brokerage accounts. And this allows it to go directly to the beneficiary. Now, if you want it to go into a trust, you name the trust as the beneficiary of these things. And create a will. That's important. If you don't have a will, most states determine who gets what. So you want a will that will say, here's who I want to get what and when. So let's take a quick break. Lisa's flashing me. I tell you what, let me just go a little long here, Lisa. Let me get the rest of them and we'll go to the last segment of the show. Select a responsible person who's going to be your PR, your personal representative. And of course, you're going to have a trust. You need to select somebody who's going to be your trustee. review your documents and make sure they're kept up to date. For example, in Florida, we had a change in how the power of attorney document needs to be prepared. That's a document that you sign that gives somebody the authority to handle your affairs if you're gone. Not if you're gone, but if you are incapacitated, if you are not able to make your own financial decisions, they can step in and do that. And that power usually it revokes at your death, and then your will or your trust take over. And make sure your administrator or the person handling your stuff has copies of everything. See a financial planner, an estate attorney. Yes. Okay. And make sure you get this stuff done while you're alive. You can't do trusts and wills and stuff if you're gone. And this is good. Number 15, and this is what I was referring to earlier. Simplify your life. Make it easy. Clean things up. If you have 15 different investment accounts, consolidate. You can still be diversified by having one or two accounts instead of having stuff all over the place. And if you've got kids or grandkids, take advantage of college funding. Those are some good things to do for your estate planning. All right, we'll take that quick break. We come back. I have some top secret information to share with you. Stay tuned.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
The following top secret message is ready for declassification.
It's no secret, actually. Listen to this. all the excitement that we hear and read about with the mega millionaires, these folks that win these humongous lotteries, Powerball and these multi-state lotteries. Well, you've heard Smart Money did an article on this. I loved it. Bill Biscoff, thank you, sir, for saying this so well. Ready for this? He says, you hear it all the time, the rich don't pay their fair share in taxes. Baloney. For proof, consider the daunting tax bills that are faced by winners of the recent Mega Millions jackpot. Here's the true story. So they had the drawing on March 30th, and the drawing was for $656 million. Lisa's eyebrows just went to the top of her head. Okay. And there were supposedly there's three winners. And each one can take either an annuity, which would give them about $219 million over a 26-year period, or they can select a cash option, a lump sum, which is what a lot of people take, and that's what I would take. So that would give you $128 million each. So three of them are getting this much money. So we'll just focus on one person. $128 million. Now, guess what? That is before taxes. They didn't mention that when you win these big lotteries, you pay tax? Yep, you sure do. And the current maximum tax bracket, which you would bear the full brunt of, is 35%. Well, David, I'll take 65% of $128 million any day of the week. Well, me too. But there's still the tax to pay. So that's $45 million check going to the Department of Treasury and the Internal Revenue Service. You got $83 million left over now. Still a lot of money, right, Lisa? Yeah, you betcha. Well, now, if you are a unfortunate soul to live in a state with an income tax, thank God I don't have that in Florida. All right, personal income tax I'm talking about, the tax on your income. They range between 5 and 10%. So let's say your rate is 7% you pay in state income tax. The winner of $128 million, that's that lump sum payment, in addition to $45 million going to the IRS, would have another $9 million going to the state. Now you're down to $74 million. It's going quick. Better save some to buy some more lottery tickets. gift taxes. Oh, yeah. If you give any of that to your family, which, of course, a lot of people would, then you're going to pay taxes if you give more than $5 million away under current tax law. Come January of 2013, who knows? It might be a $1 million exemption, but right now you can exempt $5 million. So you could give $5 million and have no gift tax. Give more than that, the gift taxes, guess what? Another 35% on that money. So it's 35%, Lisa wants to know what's on. That's 35% on the amount you give them over the $5 million. So if you give them $10 million, you're going to have 5% tax on the $5 million, which was that about $1.8 million in tax, just to be able to make a gift. Astounding. All right. So be careful what you wish for. I'd love to win that lottery, but there is tax to pay and there are bills to pay, and I'm out of time. Join us next time. Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 ton, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.